If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. HuntStand is the most popular and functional mobile hunting app on the market. With a variety of base maps to choose from, satellite imagery that is updated every month, the ability to check the weather, know property information, and even catalog your trail cam pics, HuntStand even gives you the ability to import pins and location markers from other mobile apps. Visit HuntStand.com or download wherever you download your apps. Enter discount code SN20 at checkout for 20% off.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel, because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. We got a good one today. My buddy Nate Thomas from the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast is on, and we are going to recommend we're each going to recommend 3 products for new hunters and 3 products for a seasoned hunter. And it's a fun episode. We talk about base layers, socks, boots. We talk about hunting apps. We talk about, what else did we talk about? Arrows. We talk about clothing. We talk about e-bikes, you know, a whole bunch of just crazy stuff. So it's a, that, as far as the content is concerned, it's a really good conversation. It's fun, and it might be something that you you want to take a look at. Next on the docket here on my bullet list is we got to talk about partners. If you're looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered Saddle Hunting, tetherednation.com. These guys not only have the best content out there from any saddle company, in my opinion, that will actually, you know, you get their product and then they're actually going to train you how to use it properly and put you in, you know, make it comfortable, make saddle hunting what it is, and that's the ultimate in mobility. Go check out Tethered. They have saddles, they have platforms, they have climbing sticks, and they also have all the accessories that you could want. Next is Hunt Stand. We actually talk about this on the podcast today. So Hunt Stand is a mobile hunting app you have on your phone. It allows you to document, journal. It allows you to e-scout, has maps. I mean, a whole bunch of different things. And without me getting into it too deep, what I would strongly recommend is going to huntstand.com, reading up on all the functionality, including their new Pro Whitetail platform that they've just introduced. It's killer, man. And I don't know what I would do without it, without these hunting apps. So go check out Hunt Stand and actually listen to this podcast, because there's a lot of information about Hunt Stand when I recommend it later. Next on the list is Tacticam. Tacticam has their new 6.0 version that can be mounted to a gun or a bow. The 6.0 has image stabilization. It has 4K. It has a big LCD screen on it, so you can see what you've recorded. And so it's badass, man. It's taken the action cam to the next level, especially for the hunter when you can do that. So it's a great product, and if you'd like to film your hunts, man, think about the 6.0 from Tacticam. And then lastly, what I want to say is if you think about conservation, you need to think about 2% for conservation. It's a conservation effort that I use here on the that we fight for here, and we are certified through on the Sportsman's Empire. So without getting too deep into the weeds, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot more in 2023, but 2% for conservation, go visit fishandwildlife.org and learn about how you can give back to conservation efforts that you want to give back to, whether that's birds, whether that's deer, whether that's turkey, whether that's quail, whether it's bumblebees, whether it's flowers. As long as it's a conservation effort, you can get 2% certified, not only individually, but on your, if you have a business, your business can get certified as well. A lot of cool things that go with that. So 2% for conservation, fishandwildlife.org. Those are the commercials that I want to do today. Those are the partners I want to preach about, represent. Now let's get into today's episode with Nate Thomas on the Missouri Woods and Water podcast. And we're going to talk about six pieces of gear that we would recommend. 3, 2, 1. All right. Once again on the podcast, we have Nate Thomas from the Missouri Woods and Water podcast, man. What's up?
What's up, dude?
Did Santa give you all of your hunting gear wish list for Christmas?
Yes. I got a dehydrator.
Nice.
Which is not on my list today, but that's actually a good one. And I actually just picked up my suppressor that I've been waiting longer for than I waited for any of my children. So,
what kind of suppressor? And is it for, let me guess, predator hunting?
It is. Yes, it is for predator hunting. It'll be used for deer hunting from now on, too, if I use a rifle.
Yeah.
But it's a rugged razor. It's just, I don't know a whole lot about the different brands. That's the one I picked a year ago. So,
yeah.
Excited to finally get to use it.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about guns. Like I own two guns. I own a single shot 22 rifle that you have to like pull a little cover back, slide a single 22 shell in there. I mean, it's old. I got it from my step grandma. And then I own a 20 gauge Mossberg pump and a pump, shotgun. And so those are the only two guns I have, but I need to step my gun game up, I think.
It's an addicting game. I'd be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. So why did you, what does a suppressor even do?
A suppressor is literally a tool. It's just funny to me that we have to, you know, go through all these hoops and stuff for a tool. But what a suppressor does is basically two main things. It's hearing protection more than anything. It keeps you from having to put, you know, earmuffs on or earplugs in anymore. It does not sound like the stupid Hollywood movies make it sound, where it's just like you don't hear anything. You
like a silencer, noise.
Right? That's that is even real. That doesn't actually happen.
Yeah.
And then they help with recoil. So when you are on a target, let's say for instance a coyote, and you shoot, you don't have much back recoil, almost none. So you can stay on that target if you need to, you know, continue.
A follow-up shot.
Yeah. So in the predator hunting world, now that I've hunted with one before, because I hunted with, you know, my brother-in-law before that had one, I'll never hunt without one. Yeah. So I'm excited that I'm a big boy and I've got my own now.
Yeah. And that's going to be the next one of the podcasts I'm going to do here in late January and February. I don't know anything about predator hunting. And so I want you to come back on and talk about gear that is essential for predator hunting. So just be aware I'm gonna text you last minute again someday and be like, hey, can you do a podcast?
Dude, that's another rabbit hole too, because you can spend money on predator hunting just like deer hunting, just like duck hunting. Like it's an expensive hobby too.
And so that kind of transitions into today's topic, and recommended products for not only new hunters, but seasoned hunters as well. And I want to just keep it to three. We'll pick some of our favorite and favorite products that we would recommend for a brand new hunter, and then also a seasoned hunter. And so, like I said in the before we started recording, not a lot of foreplay in this podcast. Just we're going to go straight to the penetration, and so I'm just going to toss the ball to you right off the bat, and let's start with a brand new beginning hunter. And what would you recommend? The first product that you would recommend for a brand new hunter.
So I struggled with the brand new hunter because I was like, should I be 30,000 foot view and be broad with what I want to tell them to get?
Yeah.
Or do I want to be a little more detailed?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm doing a little bit of both. So we're talking about a bow hunter in this situation, because when I'm as a deer hunter, that's majority of what I am. I mean, I have broken out the boomstick, but that's what I prefer and love is bow hunting. So I would say for the bow hunter, or any hunter, I guess, from a gear standpoint, the first thing I would recommend, and not in any particular order, but once I started running these, it changed the way I was able to handle different situations. You have got to have a good base layer on your body.
Good.
So I would recommend a good merino wool base layer. Now, if you pulled my toes and said which ones, I have only ever owned Black Ovis base layers.
Okay.
I had them 6 years ago, I think. I bought them off Camo Fire when they were having a sale. I don't know what other merino wool base layers feel like. I'm sure they're good. I don't care what brand, but merino wool is the way to go on a base layer, and that's what I would do. That's the first thing I would recommend.
That's absolutely a great suggestion. I know that when I moved up from cotton, and you know, like when I was a kid, man, I wore long johns, long john bottoms and long john tops. You know what I'm talking about. And that was my quote unquote base layer, 100% cotton, soaked by the time I get to the tree stand, and then just shiver all hunt long, right? So 100% agree with you on the base layers. I had a gut feeling you were going to go with that. So I went in the same category as far as clothing is concerned, but my first product for someone who is new to hunting would be a really good pair of socks. And I know that sounds pretty basic, but merino wool, again, would be a really good option. Moisture wicking dries really quick, holds warmth, right? And so depending on where you hunt in the country, if you hunt in the south, you might just need a mid to lightweight sock. If you're hunting in the Midwest, where it snows and can get below freezing quite a bit during the rut or even into the gun season, there's a brand called Alterra Alpaca, and it's similar to merino wool, but it's made of alpaca. And so it has the same properties as merino wool does, where it wicks moisture and holds warmth, but it's a thicker, durable sock. Like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I bought a pair or two pair, and they're not only durable, but they last for, but they do the job. They do the job of wicking the moisture away. And since then, when you pair that with a good boot, then your feet stay dry, you stay warm, and it's a win-win.
A good rule of thumb would be if it touches your body, if it comes in contact with your skin, it should be merino wool. That would pretty well get you. I mean, obviously there's some things that'll be contact with your hands and head maybe that aren't all the time, but yeah, I'm the same way. I'm wearing merino wool socks right now in my work boots, actually. I pretty much don't wear boots with socks other than wool.
Right.
And that doesn't mean hot. I think people confuse wool with being warm all the time.
Yeah.
You can buy merino wool socks that are lightweight and, thinner than your cotton socks that you could buy. That doesn't mean you're going to have hot feet. We'll wait till my list for the more experienced hunter comes up, but it's just, like you said, it helps when you get warm feet, it wicks the moisture away easier. They're comfortable. So yeah, I agree. That's a good choice.
Yep. All right. What's your next one on the new hunter recommendation?
All right. I might be cheating a little bit, but my next two items both have to do with the bow. But I'm going to cheat on one of them, and I'm being a little bit specific because I think it goes without saying that you need to get a bow that's worth a shit. And you don't have to buy a brand new bow. I've got my bow is a 2011 Bowtech Assassin. I'm still shooting a bow that's 12 years old now at this point. It's a good bow and I love that thing. But, I think if you get a bow that's used, honestly, anything within the last 10 years should be a decent bow, but I would go get it tuned, make sure it's shooting straight. If you don't know how to do that sort of stuff, find somebody that knows how to do it. A good archery shop should be able to for you. But to me, a lot of new hunters, they'll get it. They'll go buy a brand new Matthews bow or whatever. They'll go do all these things, and then they'll put cheap-ass broadheads on the end of an arrow.
Yeah.
So I've got a mechanical recommendation and a fixed blade recommendation on broadheads for new folks.
Okay. So are you lumping this in as one?
This is one item.
Yep. Okay. One item. All right. What are those recommendations?
Okay. So for mechanical, and I recently switched to that for deer, cause I've done a lot of research on mechanical broadheads. I've never hunted with mechanicals until this past year, but I like the Sever 1.5s.
Okay.
If you are looking to learn more about mechanical broadheads, I would highly suggest people check out a guy named John Lusk. I think the name of his page is Lusk Archery Adventures.
Yeah.
And he tests every broadhead that you can think of out there, I think. And he does them on mechanicals. And I actually came to the decision on the Sever 1.5s through kind of watching him and talking to other people. So Sever 1.5 mechanical broadhead is what I would go with.
Yeah.
On the mechanical side.
Gotcha.
On the fixed blade side, there's a lot of options. I've hunted with a bunch. And, you know, Wasp is a great brand. I've hunted with Slick Tricks before. But I really like now they are premium product, but I have hunted with these for a few years before this last year, and the Iron Will Solids are some badass blades and some badass broadheads.
Yeah.
Now they are full transparency. When I bought my set for three broadheads, I spent $110.
Yeah. So that's up there in price, and that could be a potential big commitment for a brand.
It's a premium product.
Right.
Let's just call it that, right? In its space, it's a premium priced product.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
However, if you're look at it this way, right? You spend thousands of dollars on your bow, hundreds of dollars on your arrows, your release, all this stuff. The broadhead is the thing that actually kills the animal.
Right. Agree.
So don't put a piece of crap plastic, you know, garbage thing on the end of it and then wonder why I didn't get a pass through or, you know, all that stuff. So I don't know if you were going to go cheap on something, I would not make it the broadhead almost if you're a new hunter.
Yeah.
Think somewhere else you can cut it, you know, your release. I don't know what. But anyway, that's the solid. The fixed blade broadhead I would recommend is the Iron Wheels. They're just badass, but a good quality fixed blade broadhead would be even a better recommendation, I guess, which you can find out there, man. There's some good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about Iron Will. I myself am a Wasp guy through and through. The heads that I use are made in America, and I just, when something like that, and you made the great point, you kill, like, it's the thing that does the damage that causes the animal to die, right? That's what the broadhead does. And so, man, when just the number of years and the number of deer that I've killed and have found with my Wasps, it would be very hard for me from a confidence level to walk away from that. And knowing that they're made in America, the heads that I use of theirs are made in America, is even better yet. So, I don't know. I love Wasp.
And if I'm not, well, I know Iron Wheels are made in America, and if I'm not mistaken, so are Severs.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Which is cool. Yeah. Cause I mean, if I can help it, I like stuff that's made in the USA.
Right. Right.
And I think both of those are. I know Iron Wheels are. Sever would be the one I'm not positive on, but I'm pretty sure they come from the Northwest somewhere.
Yeah, great. Okay, so my next product for a brand new hunter, and what I say is obviously time in the stand is invaluable, right? The more time that you can spend in a tree stand or out hunting, whatever it is you're trying to hunt, the more time, the better. And we have to realize that the more we think about deer hunting or hunting in general, the more that we'll be prepared for whatever scenario. And so my next product is going to be hunt stand or some kind of, you know, hunt stand is the example that I'm going to use because I use it, but also there's other products out there, like a hunting app. And so what that does is I'm not going to get into the details of what makes Hunt Stand, right? You can go to their website and check it out. But the reason that I like that and products like this is because when you have some free time, you can hop on a map. You can e-scout. You can e-scout on an out-of-state hunt. You can e-scout, and you can just look at the terrain. You can look at the topo lines. You can say, okay, here is a good place to start. And then you learn about the property. And then when you go out and actually do your scouting, you leave the marks, right? The waypoints and the pin drops on the map. And it just allows you to gather information. And as any new hunter, the more information that you have, the better. So my second recommendation would definitely be a hunting app like Hunt Stand.
Dude, I'm a perfect example. I wasn't going to say that, and that's a great recommendation, because I remember when I was a brand new elk hunter, I did not have a GPS app system on my phone. I didn't pay for one. And I remember my first year, all I had was one of those yellow Garmin GPS units.
Yeah.
The cheapest one you could get. And what it would do is it would, you could mark a location and then it would show you where you were. But all it was two dots on a screen.
Yeah.
There was nothing else there. And I remember my very first day elk hunting, my brother-in-law had me go a different direction from where he was. And I probably only got 100 yards away from him. And I started feeling very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the dark timber, when you make an elevation change of just like even 30 feet, you feel like you're on a different mountainside all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And you can easily get lost. And I did not feel comfortable with that little Garmin because all it showed me was where camp was and where I was. Mm-hmm. There could have been three mountain ranges between me and that camp. I wouldn't have known that, right?
Right.
So I felt very uncomfortable. And the very next year, I went and got mapping service. I actually had two, still do. But, and, you know, I can go anywhere and I know exactly where I'm at. I know exactly which way I'm traveling. It's just, and even for whitetail hunting, it makes me feel better, especially if I'm like, I checked out some new public stuff this year and I never got worried about where I was at or where I needed to be. It's a great recommendation and it's not that expensive either.
Yeah. Years ago, I'm talking like over 10 years ago, I got lost turkey hunting when I was in Alabama. It was one of those days where almost out like what it is today here in Iowa, overcast, like real thick overcast. So you really can't see shadows. So you really can't tell where the sun is in the sky. And so that I got in there, I was chasing a turkey. I got kind of turned around a little bit and I wish I had an app like that to get back to my truck. But I spent the next 7 hours in the woods trying to get out of there. And luckily, right at dark, I found my way to the road and walked back to my truck. I got lucky.
Because that's not a fun feeling.
No, it was a little scary. Even in the eastern part of the United States, that was a pretty big piece of public that I was on.
Yeah.
So, imagine.
And I'm a little bitch too. So if I start feeling a little uncomfortable, I remember like when I got lost, dude, I started trying to find my brother-in-law and I might even like started calling his name.
Yeah.
You think that's good for elk hunting?
No.
Like I don't remember if I did or not, but I did not like it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And feel 10 times better with a mapping service.
Yeah. Now after using one, imagine your life without one.
It would
be crazy. Like,
yeah,
you'd have to go backwards. Like, and just like, I can't even today on properties that I've hunted, you know, for 15 years, using it to make sure I'm walking in a straight line to my tree stand. Right. And not having to shine my headlights up in the tree, hoping to catch my tree stand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
All right. What's your third product for the new hunter?
So third product for the new bow hunter is probably the smallest item that might be in the arsenal of a hunter.
Okay.
But I think it's vital, especially for new hunters. And that is a lighted nock.
Okay.
And I personally, and I have no sponsorships through any companies on this, I personally use nocturnal lighted nocks. I've always had good luck with them.
Yep.
And I wish I had started using them right off the bat. And when I mean using a lighted nock, I do not mean just when you're hunting. I mean when you're shooting your bow in the yard, when you're shooting, if you go to 3D things to help yourself get more ready, I mean shooting it then. And what I think it does is it helps a hunter track their arrow easier. Obviously, it gives you a decent idea of where you might have hit the deer if you shot at it.
Yeah.
It tells you a lot about the flight of your arrow, what's going on. And it's so much easier for a new hunter if they've got that they're seeing.
Yeah.
And so if I were them, and they are not cheap, I guess, compared to like regular nocks that come with your arrow. But I think like a set of, I think you get three nocturnals in a package and I think they cost, I don't know, man, like $20 maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, they're not cheap, but go buy six of them your first year. Use three of them as your practice ones. The rest of them you can hold for hunting. And they make this little tool where you can turn them on and off easier, or you can use a pocket knife. and just shoot with them. And I think that would help archers, especially new archers. And, you know, they add a touch more weight than what your normal knock would have, which is why I would always shoot with them. Even when they die, keep them in your arrows.
Yeah.
And that's what you're practicing with, because that you should be shooting what you're going to be shooting when you're hunting.
Yeah.
So I would recommend lighted knocks.
Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. My only real experience with lighted knocks was kind of a bad one, and I haven't used them yet, but that was several years ago. And I know that there's been technology change to allow them to, I honestly shoot them and I could not get them to shut off. Like I would pull on them and click on them and they would just be on. I'd shoot them one time and then they would be on. And
they
so,
can be a little bit of a pain in the ass. Like for instance, sometimes when I'm hunting a lot, when I get up in my tree stand, obviously I knock an arrow, right?
Right.
Well, sometimes when you knock the arrow, it turns on the lighted knock.
Right.
So I keep that, I've gotten used to it over the years. I keep that tool with me and it's just a little tiny, looks like a key almost.
Yeah.
I keep it with me in my pack. And if I do that, I just pop it out and turn the knock off right there on my bow. But yeah, and I've heard some people have had issues before with the knock falling out or whatever, but I have shot nocturnals, knock on wood, for at least 5 years, at least, and I have never had an issue.
Awesome.
So, you know, you got to get the right size for your arrow, and you should be good to go, I would think. But
yeah,
I'm a big fan of them.
Good. Well, I think that's a great point. And it, you know, allows you to see if there's any, you know, with a lighted knock, looking down range, if there's any planing or your arrow's doing something it's not supposed to do, it's more identifiable. It's like if it's coming out, if your arrow's coming out sideways, usually means that your rest is off at some point. And so you got to get that. Let's see here.
Well, and I mean, you can find your arrow easier, right? I mean, if it passes through or if it's still in the deer, you see this lighted knock running through the woods. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of benefits in my opinion, especially for a new person, that I would go with those for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is kind of a, I don't know, this isn't groundbreaking stuff, what I'm telling you for a new hunter. Because my first one was socks, right?
Yeah.
A basic item. My third one is boots. And
hey, I'm not mad at you. No. You wait until we get to the season hunter, my list, you're going to be like, is this what you brought to me?
No, boots. It is the, in my opinion, when it comes to hunting, period, not necessarily whether you're a gun hunter or a bow hunter, whether you're backcountry or walking out your back door, I think a good, comfortable pair of boots matched with a merino wool sock or that Altera alpaca sock. If my feet go, whether I'm getting blisters out in the backcountry or on an elk hunt and I'm walking around and my feet start to hurt, or I'm not feeling like the support is there that I need on a pack out, or if I am, you know, standing in a tree stand walking through some moisture or things like that, I feel like hunting boots, and I don't mean rubber boots.
No,
I don't mean rubber boots. I mean hiking / hunting boots. Something like and I don't want to give, there's a lot of good brands out there, but here's a couple. The Crispy Thors, that's what I have. I've been wearing the same pair of Crispy Thors now for 4 years, I think, maybe even five. This might have been the last year on them, but 5 years I've replaced the only thing I've had to replace is the shoestrings on them. And then I also applied additional water repellent to them. But other than that, the soles are just now starting to crack a little bit, on the backside, but that's after hundreds of miles of abuse and through all types of snow, you know, rock, dirt, getting wet, then drying out, getting wet, then drying out, you know, that kind of stuff. But another, and the other brand would have been a Danner Pronghorn. That boot's a little bit heavier, but it's more, it's hefty. It's more of a hefty, durable boot. And again, I still wear that. That's a really, a boot, good boot. And then, I also wear a pair of boots. Man, I forget the name of the boot, and I had it in my head, but I just forgot it. It's from Lacrosse. It's not a rubber boot though. Lacrosse has this new lineup, and it's like kind of a hybrid where it's laces and everything like that. But the bottom, portion around the bottom of the boot, like up to your heel and ankle, is rubber. So water, you know, just obviously doesn't get in. But that's a real, those are the three boots that I wear throughout the year. I don't wear rubber boots anymore.
And, no, neither do I.
Yeah. And so, number one, when you're walking, it needs to be comfortable and you can walk and stand up in it, but it also needs to do what you want it to do in the hot heat or the, you know, the winter cold, or, you know, match that with a sock. You might need to look at a boot with some insulation in it if you're in the Midwest and you're looking to take that boot into the fall and winter time frame. And if you're in the South, maybe no insulation. So my recommendation would be look at, invest in a very good pair of boots right away.
If you only had $500 to spend on clothing, let's call it.
Yeah.
I would tell you to spend money on good socks and boots before clothes.
Yeah.
Now, yes, if you're running cotton clothing and blue jeans, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
But you can handle it. You cannot handle it if your feet are done.
Yeah.
And you won't keep walking. You won't do it.
Yeah.
If you're sweating your ass off, yeah, it's not going to be fun, but you can keep going. So, like, I would spend my money on boots first, and I'm in the same boat as you. I used to, a long time ago, that's what I would wear into the stands, is rubber boots. And I'd, you know, feel like I'm going to fall out of the tree climbing up because you got this big thing on your foot.
Yeah.
And now, what's interesting, so the boot I would recommend is a Zamberland Lynx. That's what I wear.
Yeah.
And the Lynx that I have, because I have another set of Zamberlands, and they're named the Crestas, I believe, and they're badass boots. But these Lynx have what's called the BOA system. Have you heard of that?
No.
It is a shoelaceless system.
Oh, you so crank it.
Yeah. It's like a... And at first, when I first got that boot, the first few weeks that I wore it, I did not like that system. I'm like, I don't like this. I want to go back to shoelaces. So that's when I got the Crestas, and they're laced up boots, and they're great boots. But what's funny is a year later, whenever I go into my closet to grab the boots to go hunting, guess which ones I grab?
Mm-hmm.
It's those Lynxes. And it's nice. You don't have shoelaces getting caught on, you know, brushes or whatever, or even on your steps sometimes. I've had that happen. I really like that BOA system. Now, do you need it? No, but it's cool. Yeah. And I don't know that it makes the boot any more expensive. I don't remember how much the Lynx was that didn't have it. But I mean, so, and then before that, I ran Loa's, a brand called Loa.
Yep, I've heard of them before.
And so between you and I, we have mentioned five different brands of boots. And those are all quality brands. I would say Crispy, Zamberland.
Those are the cream of the crop. They are. Very top.
But like, you got Lacrosse, Danner, Loa, Kennetrek. I mean, I'm just trying to think of all these different brands off the top of my head. There's some really good brands of boots out there. Rocky's another. Yeah. It's aggravating me that I don't think of some other ones I know, but like, there's some really good brands out there, and yeah, you're going to get what you pay for in boots. I'm a firm believer that in boots, you will. Okay. There's also Keen. There's also Mendel, Schnees, Hoffman boots are out of USA. So anyway, you will get in with boots. I'm a firm believer that you will get what you pay for.
Right.
So if you go find a $60 pair of boots, you're going to get $60 worth of good boots.
Right.
You know, now Crispies, Zamberlands, some other brands, they're going to be $350 plus.
Yeah.
But you are going to be happy with your purchase, in my opinion. So, yeah.
And just as a reminder, this is to each your own, right? Type of conversation, because dude, I know guys who hunt in New Balance tennis shoes. So, whatever.
Oh yeah, that's right. Another possibility.
Yeah, right. So don't look past the New Balance.
Well, like if you're just like I'm talking about out west at home, like it'll do anything you want.
Right.
If you're going hunting, let's say you hunt 15 acres behind your house and it's a 60 degree day in mid September or early October, let's say, yeah, throw on a pair of shoes. Who cares? Like, you're not going out in the elements and you're walking 150 yards. That's fine. Right. I mean, those are comfortable. New Balance, they're comfortable. Yeah. I'm kind of talking about like the guy that might be going out west or doing some public land running and gunning, where you're going to be walking. You know, you can use a pair of tennis shoes, sure, but what if you have to cross a creek that's 8 inches deep, or what if you get in a bunch of mud and muck? You're going to wish you probably had some Gore-Tec going on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
all right, what is your first product for the seasoned hunter?
All right, so you're going to laugh. All three of my products for the seasoned hunter are new products for me this season.
Okay, all right.
And I have now gotten to the point in my hunting career where I am fine-tuning a bunch of stuff, probably tinkering too much, but all three of these things this year I started using, and I freaking love them.
Yeah.
So what should I go with first? Okay, I'm going to go, since you started with socks on the new hunter, I'm also going to start with socks.
All right.
But – so I am a guy, and I've noticed this with my clothing that I now wear when it gets colder has made it to where I can stay out longer. I'm just more comfortable in a tree stand, you know, in my core body temperature.
Right.
However, my feet suck and they get cold. And I've gotten to the point the last few years where I have gotten down out of my tree because my feet are freezing.
Right.
Nothing else, just my feet. And so this year I got my first pair of insulated boots. And while the boots help me, they still don't keep me from starting to have problems after, you know, 3-4 hours. And I'm talking in colder temps.
Right.
So I have a pair, and I'm sure there's people out there that are going to scream at their radio listening to me say this, but I've had a pair of Arctic Shield boot covers for 5 years in my closet.
You're a bum.
I have not once put them in my pack. They're just so freaking gigantic. I don't put them in my pack. Huh. And so, I've never used them. And so this year I bought my first pair of heated socks.
Yeah.
And they are freaking badass, Dan.
Are they Bluetooth?
Not the ones I bought. The ones, okay, I bought, I got, it has a remote.
Gotcha.
And they're actually, the brand is called Field Shear.
Oh, I've actually had those guys on this podcast before.
Oh, have you really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So they make heated insoles, yep, and heated socks that have a app, but I bought the ones that have the remote, I guess, yep, you'd call it. Right. And dude, I don't have to worry about my feet anymore. If I start getting a little bit of chill, I turn them on low. And then 15 minutes later, my toes aren't throbbing anymore.
Right.
And those batteries, like I was worried about having a battery on the side of my leg. You don't even know it's there, man.
Yeah.
And the ones I'm wearing are actually a wool blend too. They're not synthetic. So I don't know, man. Like, those have been a game changer for me, just because the one thing on my body that has always caused me problems when it gets really cold is my toes. And it did, you know, the insulated boots still didn't keep it from happening. They helped. They made me go longer, but it still happened.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Field Shear heated socks.
Okay. I like that. I like that answer. And it's not on my list, but I am going to give an honorable mention to the Arctic Shield boot covers because I use them all the time. I use them all the time when it's cold. And they, in my opinion, are the lifesaver of, like, once I ended up buying the Arctic Shield boot covers, it's just been a different hunting for me. I agree with you. Once my feet go, I'm not even in the hunt anymore. And so these have kept my feet nice and toasty and that I don't want to leave the tree stand. So
it's hilarious to me that I've had those for so long.
Yeah.
And you know, I equate Arctic Shield boot covers with me taking my medicine as a kid or some shit. Like,
yeah.
I knew it would make me feel better, and I have it there at my disposal, but I just refused to take my medicine.
Yeah.
Because I would look at them, they'd be sitting there, and I'd be like, those things are huge. I'm not putting them in my pack.
Yeah.
Or if I had them in my pack, there's been a few times I've had them with me, and then I look at them, I'm like, I don't want to dick with putting these on. Yeah. I'm just going to go home. Like, it's just hilarious that I knew that, and I've heard from everybody that's ever told me Arctic Shield boot covers are great. They do the job.
Yeah.
And I still got them, but I just wouldn't put them on. So, hey, to each their own. I'm a heated socks guy now, and that's what I'll go with for a while.
Yeah. All right. My first seasoned hunter recommendation would be Day 6 arrows. This, not only is the owner of the company a badass bow hunter who is very critical about the equipment that he uses throughout the, you know, throughout the year. I know him. But Day 6 arrows are that they're not cheap. They're a carbon arrow. They have an outsert. I think they offer an insert and an outsert. I shoot the outserts, which adds a little bit more weight to the front of the arrow. But I bumped up my arrow game a handful of years ago, went to a couple different arrows, and found a really good happy place with Day 6. I shoot the 275s with a total. My arrow weight, I shoot a 4-fletch arrow as well. And so my total arrow weight with a 100-grain Wasp jackhammer this year was sitting right around 524 grains. Now, you can go a lot higher than that as far as total arrow weight is concerned. But that's my.
What did you say about your broadhead? Is it 100 grain?
It's right now. It's 100 grain.
Okay.
Jackhammer, 3-blade jackhammer. And so these are not cheap compared to the Eastons out there, compared to the Carbon Express or whatever the other, you know, the gold tip arrows that are out there. These are big boy arrows, and I feel like they're manufactured with like the smallest tolerance in the industry, meaning straightness standpoint, they are the straightest arrow on the market. They're durable the way they're built, and I'm just a huge fan of them for several reasons, and they haven't led me wrong. I don't even know if I've ever had one break where I've only found like half an arrow. Once I, you know, sometimes you shoot a deer, it hits opposite side shoulder, and maybe as they're running away,
yeah, they break it off.
Break off. I don't think I've ever had one break off before. I love the arrow. That's really it. You know, I don't have too much, you know, too many details about the actual product itself other than they're badass.
That's a good recommendation. Yeah. Because with seasoned hunters, as you are well aware, when you when you get into this game a little more, then you start really tinkering with your setups, your bow setup, everything. You really start like, and there's some folks out there probably thinking about doing something different with arrows. So, yeah.
Well, I'll say this, and it's the combination of the arrow, the 4-fletch, and the broadhead that I'm confident in. And it, for me, it all comes down to confidence. So I don't want to sound like a broken record and get back into all that again, but that arrow setup is just money to me. So definitely highly recommend that brand. What's your next big season, Hunter?
Okay.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Another new product for me this year.
Okay.
I've always made fun of people who have worn these, and now I am one that wears them.
Is that face
paint? And if you
paint?
Don't believe, I wear face paint, yes, but it's not in there. Not all the time, but sometimes. By the way, Hardy face paint. If they're still in business, that's what I would recommend. But anyways, I don't know if they're still in business, man. I'm having a hard time finding it, so I don't know what happened there. But anyways, if you don't believe me, go to our Instagram and you will see a reel of me wearing it for the first time. And then I've worn it pretty much every time since.
Okay.
Now, full disclosure, we are sponsored by Huntworth.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't mean shit. I'm telling you, I wear this thing and it's the best thing ever. And that is a vest.
Okay.
And they've got a vest. It's called it's their new Heat Boost line and it's their Saskatoon vest. And I never realized what I was missing until I started wearing a vest. It's the best thing ever. I have, you know, more mobility in my arms because I'm not wearing a second coat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if I'm just wearing my sweatshirt and I get a little chill, I can put that vest on and I still feel like there's nothing on my arms. I mean, and the vest itself is cool because it's got chest pockets too. So you can put like your rangefinder in the chest pocket. It's got lined pockets. So if your hands get cold, you can stick them in there and, you know, get them warm. It's just the best damn thing ever. I never thought I'd be a vest guy, but Huntworth Saskatoon Heat Boost vest. Badass.
And so it comes with a little battery?
No, it's not a heated vest. Oh,
okay. It's not a heat. Okay.
No, it's not a heated vest. It's just a vest. It's their Heat Boost line.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry.
Is that a, is that like insulation filled or is that like a fleece?
Yeah. It's like an insulation filled. It's gotcha.
Puffy.
Well, no, it's not a puffy. Excuse me. I said that to you wrong. It's just, it's very thin. It's windproof. It's got like a fleece lining, I'd say. I'm looking at it right now as we're talking.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's got the chest pockets.
Yeah.
And, it's more like a fleece lining, almost like a, lamb's wool feel
yep.
to it.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not puffy. It's, quiet and yeah, it doesn't add any bulk to yourself. I mean, it's like you're not wearing it, but you get the added benefit of not freezing your ass off. So,
right.
I don't know why I haven't wore a vest before now, but there you go.
Yeah.
There's my second recommendation.
Yeah. That's a good one because I am a vest guy when it's right. Like if it gets too cold, man, there's this area where I feel a vest, operates very well in, and that is the late October, warm November day time frame where it's just, I don't know. I like going almost with a hoodie and a vest and then,
yeah.
And then that's all you really need. And dude, I have, it's one of their first runs of the product and I've had it a long time. I mean, I've had it since I went to like 2014. I think I've had this and it's the Calvin Light from Sitka. It's a vest. I wear it all the time. Still to this day, I wear it all the time because it's light. It has the wind stop in it and it holds the heat. And so even when it's really windy on, let's say like a 40 degree day where too much layering would make you hot, but that's just enough to stop the wind and keep you warm. And so I like,
that's great, man.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. And even like when it gets really cold, what I started doing this year is I would put the vest underneath my big coat.
Yeah.
So then it's like I'm wearing two coats, but I don't have to wear two coats in the arms.
Right.
you know, because then you start really feeling like Marshmallow Man.
Right.
And I mean, you can ask Micah, man. I used to make fun of him for wearing vests. You know, I'd see him show up to the house in a vest and I'd be like, what are we going to go drink some wine across the country? Like, you freaking loser. Like, I used to make fun of him, but I was wrong. I will admit it. Vests are awesome. Right. So it's, for me, it's the Huntworth vest, or, you know, like I said, any vest. I think windproof is helpful. Even though you're not, you know, windproofing your arms. Sure.
Right.
But man, you're right. It's just enough to keep you from getting cold.
Right.
So
absolutely. I love it. All right. My next, I have a specific product that I want to talk about, but I almost want to just say the whole line. I'll stick with the specific product, but then I'll kind of just talk about the company in general. But the Crossfire HD 1400 is a new product that I got this year. It's from Vortex Optics. It's a rangefinder. It's freaking badass. And it comes in a pouch, and I don't know, it's my last rangefinder before I went to Vortex had just, it wasn't bright enough. What you're looking at seemed blurred. It wasn't crisp. And then I got this Crossfire HD 1400, and it's just like, it's sweet, man. And I don't know what makes, like, I don't know what makes a good rangefinder. All I know is this one's badass, and I feel like it would be a really good improvement to a seasoned hunter, whether you're out west doing, I'm guessing, anything inside 1400 yards, or you're a tree stand guy with that, you know, it's got that, I think almost all rangefinders now have that angle compensation in them.
Yep.
But the Crossfire HD. Now, with that said, if you've been hunting for, let's just say 15 years, even 10 years, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, and you don't have a good pair of optics, let's say like binoculars, man, I really think you're missing out. I think, like, for me, I love having a good pair of optics on my chest. So I'm a huge fan of the brand Vortex and what they do and how that business operates. But Vortex as a whole, as far as the products, man, you can't go wrong. So,
well, and they've got, and funny enough, my rangefinder that I've had for years, I don't even know how old it is at this point, was a Vortex Ranger 1300. And I really like that one because it has a clip on it, which really makes me happy, because I am one of those guys who I have tried time and time again, Dan, and you can ask the boys with, you know, Micah and Andy.
Yeah.
I try it every time we go hunting, and by the end of the hunt, I've got it off. Yeah. I do not like wearing a bino harness.
Yeah. I love mine.
Yeah, and they love theirs too. And they're like, dude, I don't know why. I'm just like, I don't know what it is. I just, every time I'll start taking it off by the end of the hunt. But that doesn't mean I'm not taking glass with me.
Right.
Now, the rangefinder is a given. That should be there. But yeah, I'm with you. And what I like about companies like Vortex and like, we're sponsored by Athlon Optics, those companies have lifetime warranties on their shit.
Yeah.
And
fact.
You know, like, you can step on it and break it and let them know, and, you know, you're going to be getting a new one at some point. So,
yeah,
I would think most seasoned hunters should be, I don't care what rangefinder you're running, I guess, but this is what you've recommended.
Yeah.
And if you've got a garbage rangefinder, that's just asking for problems.
Yeah. I don't know. I tried to envision products that you take it away from me and I wouldn't be very good at hunting. It would be, you take a rangefinder away from me and I would not be very good at
shit,
hunting.
Oh, shit, dude, me either. We went and done 3D hunts together, or 3D shoots together. We like to go to 3Ds to kind of get us ready for the season, and it gives you an opportunity to see different, like, different targets and different elevations and stuff.
Yeah.
And we did one time where we tried doing what's it called? We're unknown, so you have to guess the range.
Yeah.
And I think our very first shot, I guessed it around like 30 yards, and it was like 44. And I lost that arrow, and I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm using a rangefinder. Because honestly, if I'm hunting, anything 20 and in, I might not range because I can tell the damn thing's close to
close enough, yeah.
But anything outside of 20, I'm probably going to be ranging because I know it's not right on top of me.
Right.
So I'm not going to be that guy that's like, yeah, that looks like 48 and it's 48. I'm just not good at it. I can't, I have bad depth perception apparently.
Yeah. All right. Last product.
Okay. For this one is a very, very small product, but so this season, if anybody's been keeping up with us at all, I had to do some pivoting. And I started hunting some public ground. I started doing some running and gunning.
Yep.
And I hunted off the ground a lot. And I also, you know, we're doing some set hanging. And HME makes a tree strap that goes around your tree and has three hooks on it. And I would set up on the ground and I'd tuck up next to a tree or I'd, you know, find somewhere to tuck up. And I would put this tree strap around a tree next to me and I would hang my bow from it. Or I would, if I got up into a tree and I, you know, I'm not hanging or I'm not hunting out of preset, stands anymore because I'm doing some running and gunning. Right. And I would put this strap around the tree and, I would be able to hang my bag, my bow and anything else I wanted to. And I just looked them up. They are freaking like $7. Now, I would say, I'm sure there's straps out there that are more high-end than this one for, you know, those saddle hunters and people who are really big-time running gun hunters. They're probably laughing at me when I say this one. But I'm telling you, for $7, I never had to worry about where I was going to hang my bow or where I was going to put it.
Yeah.
And it's really small. I would roll it up around my fingers, and then I'd tuck it in my pack somewhere. And then as soon as I got ready to set up, I'd put that around the tree and I'd hang my bow right in front of me. Cause I usually use the tree as a, you know, a barrier between me and which way I thought the deer would be coming. And, I was just, I don't know what I would have done if I forgot it, like lay my bow on the ground, you know, what was I going to do? And I really just don't like my bow sitting on the ground. So, the HME tree strap, I don't even know if that's what it's called.
Yeah. From Hunting Made Easy is the
name. Yeah, HME. Yeah, Hunting Made Easy. There you go.
Yep.
Stupid, tiny little product. But once again, just like you said,
functionality.
If you were to take it away from me this year, I'd be like, well, shit.
Right.
I want that.
Right. Right. All right. So mine is completely opposite of a strap that hangs to the tree. Mine is a very expensive product. And when we say seasoned hunter, obviously the number of years that you've been hunting does not have anything to do with the amount of money that you make in a given year. But I spent money on an e-bike this summer.
Oh, I'm interested.
Yes.
Keep talking.
And I ended up getting it after my Nebraska hunt, and I think it was probably October before my South Dakota hunt. And I got a Quiet Cat. I looked at several brands that had similar features on them. And so I went with a Quiet Cat. And I'm telling you, man, instead of hiking 2 miles back, I drove my e-bike, which depending on what public land you hunt on is and how you have it set up. And I'll just say this, that on the public land that I was on, I had to disconnect the throttle. So the only way I would get power is while I'm pedaling. Okay.
But you can do that with them.
Yes, I can on this brand, on this. And that was one of the reasons. So I, before I bought the e-bike, I looked into all the rules and regulations on the places that I hunt, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And so on that, on the particular pieces of public that I hunted on, that is a class one e-bike is the same level as a regular bicycle. Okay. But if I connected the throttle to it, then it becomes a motorized vehicle. Okay. So I disconnected the throttle. So it's pedal power only, right? So I would get pedal assistance, not, I don't know, like, not like a dirt bike. Okay. So, I mean, I was going back 6 miles. One day I went back 7 miles and I was doing it at 10 miles an hour. Okay. And so if I would have shot a mule deer that deep, put it on my pack, and it's cutting down everything. I'm 42 years old. I have bad knees. I have the beginning of a bad back. And so finding the rules and regulations and getting this e-bike was, from an access standpoint, I was going deeper than everybody else and I was doing it legally. And so win, a big win right there. Second, I just got access to a brand new farm here in Southern Iowa where access was through only one corner, southeast corner of the property.
I was just getting ready to ask you about that because I remember listening to it.
Yep. And so as I'm walking in, all the deer were bedded up on this hillside that could see this gate entrance. And so when I would go in, I would see deer run away. Okay. But when I went through, then I had my bike in November. So in early October, I didn't have the bike. When I went there, I got the bike, or the deer would run away. I got the bike, accessed it that way. And dude, they just stand there and they look at you.
And they, it's like they don't perceive you as a threat.
No, I'm a truck. I'm a car. I'm a combine. I'm not a threat. Right. And I'm driving 15 miles an hour through a cattle pasture or through a bean field, a picked bean field, or down the lane or wherever I'm going. And I'm driving, I shot my buck this year and I could see my e-bike from where I parked it. I parked it on the backside of a pond. My tree stand was on a pond wall and it just created this really good pinch point. And so I would drive it right up to the pond. I'd lay it down. And then earlier that morning, another buck that I ended up passing walked right by it. He looked at it. He was like, what's that? He jumped a little bit, but then walked away. And I'm telling you, this thing allows you to go in undetected. There's no ground scent, right? There's nothing.
Yeah.
Except for where you park it to wherever your tree stand. I know guys who drive it right to the bottom of their tree stands. And so
makes sense.
Yeah. And so if that's an option, right? It was in a way kind of a game changing product for me. And I really do believe that it had something to do with getting the deer not to run off this very small piece of property, or this very small portion of the property that the deer were hanging out. It allowed me to go through that gate at a fast pace. They looked at me, they said, okay. And then I'd crest the ridge and they didn't see me. And so then I'd just drive right up, you know, right through, right to where I need to be. And then I walk the rest of the way and it's a win-win. And, so take that how you want it. It wasn't, it was not cheap. But I really do, if you're looking to take something to the next level and you have the funds that you can do that. I mean, shit, for the price of it, you could probably buy a used four-wheeler, but a used four-wheeler is loud. This thing's quiet. And,
did you, when you were driving, did you like make motorboat sounds with your lips? So they knew rum, you were rum, like not rum, a threat. Rum,
right. No, No.
This is too quiet. I needed to make a little bit of noise.
Well, here on my late season hunt, I was coming out and all you could hear was the grass and the tires, right? It was a little crunchy from some snow and ice that had accumulated on top of it. And I had to go to a doe who was not going to move. She was just staring right at me. And so I had to do I had to make some noise for her to get out of the way. And so, and they're just straight up fun to ride around on. So anyway,
that's
an expensive product. It's not like, I'll be honest, man, back in the day, I used to talk shit on e-bikes, but now that I'm old and or older, and I really do like, I'm a hypocrite now. Like I talk shit on them, but now I'm looking at them and go, hey dude, definitely see where these are awesome.
No, I'll tell you what, man, they have been on my radar. Yeah. One of the farms I hunt, and it's where I killed my largest buck to date so far, but it's a wide open farm. And I think you and I have talked about this before. It's a wide open farm where I'm hunting basically ditches, right? Like I'm trying to catch them coming through a ditch. Essentially, right?
Right.
Well, one of the spots I like to go to on this farm is at least 1,000 yards from where I'm parked.
Right.
And it's an easy enough walk, but I'm in the wide open.
Right.
Like there ain't shit I can do to cover myself up.
Right.
And every time I'm walking in there, I'm just sitting there going, I wonder how many deer are just burning a hole through me right now.
Right.
And I can't tell. And I, you know, it's one of those deals where I know they know I'm there. So I get from my truck to where I need to be as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And do you just get it over with? You know, it's like ripping the Band-Aid off. Right. I don't know how others would do it, but that's what I do in that situation. I disturb the area quickly and get it over with.
Yeah.
Well, by the time I get to my area, I'm freaking tired because I've been walking fast.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to get there. And an e-bike has been on my mind about that place particularly. And then obviously other places like, you know, public land hunting or whatever would be cool. So,
yeah.
No, that's a good one. I mean, yeah, it's expensive. That's for sure. But I like that one. And I also like how on our last recommendations, I recommended a product that cost $7.
Yeah.
You recommended a product that cost $7,000.
Yeah. I mean, shit, I don't think the one that I bought wasn't $7,000, but they have models that are up there.
And oh, yeah, for
that
sure.
That are even more expensive than that I got. And this also has something to do with my purchase. I think I probably still would have bought it, but one of my good friends works for the company. So I got nice. I got a 50% discount.
Oh, it can't beat that, Ben.
No.
Nope. No brainer.
Yep. So I don't know if I was supposed to share that or not, but I just did. Hopefully he doesn't get fired.
You can always edit it out later. Right. You didn't say his name.
No, nope, I didn't. All right, dude. Well, hey, really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and BS with us about these gear recommendations. Are you still hunting?
I've got access to a new farm and I actually just got photos this morning. I went and put some cameras out there and he's a deer that I'm interested in. I don't know if he's a shooter or not, but, so I actually might be out there, next few days. I've got until January 15th. So I got 10 days left.
Gotcha.
So I might be getting after it, but we're definitely starting to transition into coyote mode.
Yeah,
but
for sure,
you know.
Well, Mr. Nate Thomas, good luck the rest of the season, and thanks for hopping on today.
All right. Thanks, brother.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.